Okay, so anyway, as we get started here, I just have 20 minutes to like the rest of them, so I'm going to dive right in here. But so in today's culture, we're told that gender is a subjective concept that is forced on us by the outside world. You've probably heard something like that, right? According to the prevailing ethos, being biologically male or female has no bearing on our abilities, purposes, or roles in life. Any distinctions are considered to be an oppressive societal construct, which undermines not only our self-worth, but even more drastically, the ability to choose for ourselves our best path. Sound familiar at all? In an ironic twist, modern culture has rejected the biblical teaching that men and women have been created by the one true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that we are his image bearers and therefore have incredible value and purpose because of this foundation. In other words, this is what we base it on. Some in this vein, even within the claimed Christian tradition, have rejected gendered descriptions of God himself. I just heard this past week, by the way. It was recently announced by the official Church of Sweden that the terms he, father, or lord would no longer be used of God, but instead mother, father. That's how they will refer to God. According to the biblical view of humanity, our worth is an objective fact based on God's incredible love and purpose. Tragically, in rejecting this, however, we have lost any true value whatsoever, trading it for a subjective value that which we determine for ourselves. This is what culture is telling us. But one need only watch Antiques Roadshow if you've ever seen that. So people bring in their goatskin lamp, right, and they want it to be worth $10,000, and they think it is. But it only is if someone else agrees that it is and is willing to pay for you know, that amount. It's really not worth anything unless someone else agrees that it's worth that. And that's what we're left with, right? So what are the causes of this? Many in today's culture believe that we have evolved in an uncreated, purposeless process and are left to determine for ourselves what value, purpose, or role we should play in the world. And that's basically what you're left with if you believe that we're just evolved from nothing. That's what you're kind of left with. Others, though not denying some sort of deity, there's many that say, well, okay, there's a God, right? But they've redefined this deity to suit their own purposes and pleasures in such a way that we become the ultimate arbiters of what should be. These worldviews have different effects. Like, have you heard of people being offended because a woman is offended a man opens the door for her, right? Have you heard of things like that? Or women in combat roles, right? I wrote down a couple more. Some say that gender has no bearing on marriage or child rearing. And Nate was talking about that earlier, about, you know, how wives just are made better able to raise children. I mean, just the natural abilities, generally the case. And then even more extreme cases here, we disregard now biological realities and claim that we can determine our own gender. Calling it transgenderism, one can now identify as a male, female, neither, or any number of combinations based on our own inner sense of who we are. Some have gone so far as to identify themselves as Z. Have you heard of this one? XE. Or they, rather than he or she. And then some, in response to that, say, hey, to each his own, who cares, right? If that's what they want to be, then fine, so be it. Let them be that way. But the issue isn't as simple as to each his own, because this self-identification pushes itself into the public realm when these same people require, even by government laws and fiat, right, require others to identify them by their preferred nomenclature. And this is kind of where we're at today, where people want the government to say what it is that we have to refer some, you know, we have to say, call someone else what they want to be called, right? So who's correct? One person insists that they can determine their own gender, and everyone else must acknowledge and even affirm their feelings. Another believes that biology is what it is, and is not a matter of simple opinion. And to say otherwise would be to participate in a dangerous lie, which is where I would fall. But what arbiter determines whose rights are right with a capital R? Which one is right? As one quip has said, what we used to be able to use is absurd logical conclusions, right? We could take someone on a trail down what their belief would result in, is now reality. And we are to the point where there's almost nothing more absurd that we can appeal to, right? This seems to be where we're at today. In the midst of this cultural chaos, the church must be able to answer the question, does gender matter? That's our question. Of course, our standard must be God's thoughts on each issue, and so we must consistently search the Scriptures. I'm going to do a couple things first. First, I'm going to define gender. We ask the question, what does gender matter? So we ask, what is the definition of gender? So the English Language Learner's Dictionary says it's the state of being male or female. The state, not the feeling, the state of being male or female. In the current Google Dictionary, it says this: the state of being male or female, typically used with reference to social and cultural differences rather than biological ones. You see how that's kind of transformed, right? Now, I would say this, that it is true that there can be some things that culturally we say men do, or maybe 50 years ago they would say, like, you know, men don't do dishes, or men can't be nurses, or, you know, women don't mow the grass, or women can't shoot guns, or something like that. Now, we would agree with that. That's maybe something we created as a society. But the true distinctions between male and female are really what they are, right? And God made us that way. The next question we ask is, what does matter mean? What is the definition of matter? Because we've asked the question, does gender matter? And so the dictionary definition says, to be of importance or have significance. To matter is to have a purpose. If one of my children asked me, does it matter if I take this off? Well, I have some questions, don't I? Well, what is this and what are you taking it off of? If it's the head of your baby brother, then no, you can't take it off because it matters, right? That's important. If it's the lid off of an empty cardboard box, go right ahead, right? So we have to see what kind of importance this thing has. What significance does it have? From a Christian worldview, there are two standards used to accurately address this issue. First is general revelation. When we speak of general revelation, we are referring to biological and material realities that are available, that it's available information to all of us. In other words, everyone can see this is the case. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 says, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. In the case of gender, we can observe that God, in his eternal power, has made two categories of gender, male and female. It's obvious to us. Any human anatomy class can point to the obvious differences and the purposes for those differences. Along with physical differences, there are also psychological differences which generally distinguish men from women. Now, there are exceptions, and we're going to cover that at the end, all right? So some people say, well, what about the exceptions to that rule? And you can probably think of maybe some examples of that. Jim spoke this morning about Stephen Hawking. So I have a quote from him that I already had, and he mentioned this morning. And his book, A Brief History of Time, sums up his lifetime of research and thinking about the what and the how of the universe. But listen to his conclusion in his book. Now, if we only knew the why, we would have the mind of God. Guess what? We have the why. So we have the mind of God. He's given us purpose, right? He's told us what that is. But here in general revelation, we've learned two things, right? Biologically, mankind is born in one of two categories, male and female. That's what we see, all right? But approximately 1 in 2,000 babies are born with confusing or ambiguous genitalia. You've perhaps heard of that, right? And we're going to discuss that in a bit. But what I want to point out here about this is that they are born with this biological condition. It's not the way they feel. You're not going based on what they feel. It's a biological condition. And I want to point something else out, too, that there's 4 in 10,000 babies are born blind. 6 in 10,000 are born without a limb. We don't think it's okay. We know when they're born that way, there's something that's wrong, right? That's not the way it's supposed to be. That's why March of Dimes has what they have, right? For babies that are born with defects, right? And it's because they know there's a problem. Next, we have special revelation. God has not left us with just simply general revelation. It can be accurately said that just because something is a certain way does not mean that it ought to be that way. In other words, just because we can show that biologically we're male or female, that doesn't automatically mean that's the way it should be. But God has told us that's the way it should be. So Genesis 1:27 through 31 says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and said to them, think of the things here that he's telling, saying to them, be fruitful. Now again, just here, male, female, be fruitful and multiply. Now just obviously, you can't do that, male, male, female, female, right? Just obvious. So be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And then in Genesis 1:31, God says, and behold, it was very good. So God gives us our value. It's not a subjective value. It's objective. God gave us this value. We have it objectively. Every human being has it. Even the ones who are born the way that I described, even those who have other issues, they are made in God's image and they have value, not because anyone else says they do, but because God says they do. All right? In Matthew 19, Jesus reaffirmed this. All right? So, verses 4 through 6 in Matthew chapter 19. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So, they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let man not separate it. He reaffirms what we learned in Genesis chapter 1. So, what do we learn from this? First, God created mankind in his own image. So, we are objectively valuable. God created mankind to be only one of two genders, male or female. He blessed them as such and said his creation was very good. They each had a distinct purpose as individual yet complementary image bearers. And Jesus reaffirmed that creation order. Some people say, you know what, if this was such an important issue, why didn't Jesus talk about same-sex marriage or transgenderism? It must not be that important. But here's that argument. He never talked about bestiality. He never talked about child pornography. And he never talked about gay bashing. Does that mean that those things are okay? No. No, we know they're not. And he did address those issues, just not those specific ones, right? The overall issues he addresses that Jesus did address those. So though the question Jesus addressed was specifically about divorce, Jesus' answer teaches that God's created order was and is male and female, father and mother. The two shall become one flesh, not male, male, not female, female, not male and two females, no other combinations, all right? So why the confusion today? You've probably heard this. Well, I was born this way. And? Right? Psalm 51 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Guess what? We're all born with sin. So that's no excuse. And you could say that about any sin. Hey, I was born this way. Right? That's not an excuse. We still have to go back to what God says about us and what our purpose is. So why the confusion today? Why? Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. Romans 8, 22 and 23 tells us that all of creation, including mankind, is groaning because of our subjection to the futility of our own sinful desires and the effects of sin on all of creation. So that, Jeremiah 17, 9 says that our heart is deceitful above all else and desperately sick. It says in Genesis 5, the Lord says, every intention of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. This is what we learn from God's word. Proverbs 28, 26 warns us, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. And in 14, 12 in Proverbs, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. All right? So the Bible teaches us not to trust in just our feelings. All right? So as we're wrapping up here, I want to talk about, what about intersex people? To many, the understandable question arises, what about those who are born with the biology of male and female? Because that happens. In other words, there are some who by no choice of their own are born with both male and female chromosomes, and some with both male and female genitalia, right? And this is a sad situation. And the argument says, since they were born this way, then it must be that there are more than two possible biological genders. A few things here as we are wrapping it up here, and then I want to say Jesus actually does talk about this. Number one, we must deal gently and respectfully with this issue, all right? Those who are born this way had no choice in the matter. They didn't. In the same way that someone that's born blind had no choice in the matter. Number two, this is not the same as someone who is fully biological male or female, biologically male or female, including chromosomally, who feel like they should be the opposite of what they are. In other words, if someone is born a male and they feel like they should be a female, that's different than someone who's born with both genders chromosomally, right? And you could ask the question, if somebody says this, why are you going with your feelings rather than your biology? Something else. We don't make rules based on exceptions. All right? Difficult and rare problems make for bad policy. Number four, our standard is God's Word. God's Word tells us that because of sin, corruption invaded God's very good creation. Some effects of the sin include babies born with Down syndrome, conjoined twins, lack of limbs, blindness, etc. Things which we would not consider normal, but rather exceptions to the good way that God created the world. Jesus did have something to say, though, about people who are born this way. And if you open up to chapter 19 of Matthew, in the same passage where he's talking about divorce, the disciples overreact to what Jesus said, right? They're saying, well, if I can't divorce my wife for any reason, then it's just better not to get married, right? That's what they say. Well, what does he say? You know, they probably wanted him to say, no, that's not the case, but that's not what he said. He actually said in verse 11, but he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying, but only to those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth. Hey, guess what? This is what he's talking about. There are some who are born from birth this way. A eunuch in Jesus' time in that society was someone who was a male that was castrated in some way who would serve the king. And you know, a lot of times they would be over the harem and because the king could trust them for obvious reasons, right? But he's saying there's some that are born this way. And then he goes on and he says, there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. In other words, there are some that are born this way, right? And for the kingdom of heaven, they should live this way. And there are some of you who aren't necessarily born this way, but you're going to become single for the rest of your life for the kingdom of heaven. Let those who can accept it, accept it. That's what Jesus is saying here. But he obviously knows that there are some who are born this way. So when we're talking to those that are in that kind of a situation, that's the kind of compassion we want to show. They have a purpose too. They too were made in God's image. All right. Now there's a lot of other things we could talk about. My time's up. But if you have questions here, you can ask them at the end. But hopefully what you understand is God's given us the guidelines, right? He's told us, male and female. Right, he's clearly told us what his will is for us and our purpose. Right.